Today on Wings, a documentary about attitudes and activism around gendered violence in Myanmar, the Southeast Asian country formerly known as Burma.
In Myanmar's context, it can be found that women are enjoying equal rights with men.
People talk about the equality of the genders in this country. This, of course, is an over-optimistic view.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
The personal is political in Myanmar, the Southeast Asian country formerly called Burma, especially with respect to violence against women. Lack of sexual assault laws and sexist societal norms mean gender-based discrimination is widespread in Myanmar society and accepted by families, communities, and government. Myanmar is in flux, having emerged from about 5 decades of military rule. A quasi-civilian government came to power in 2011. General elections are set for late 2015. Women's groups in Myanmar are gaining speed and pushing for a better legal framework, as well as supports like shelters and counseling for those who have experienced violence. My name is Portia Larley. I'm a Canadian living in Yangon, the commercial hub and former capital of Myanmar. I wanted to learn more about perceptions of gendered violence here. At a women's forum held in the capital Naypyidaw in December 2014, opposition leader, longtime democracy advocate, and former political prisoner Aung San Suu Kyi said gender discrimination begins at home and needs to be addressed there.
People talk about the equality of the genders in this country. This, of course, is an over-optimistic view. There is gender discrimination in this country. It is taken for granted that in many families, the boys will be given advantages that are denied to the girls. Sons are favored quite often over daughters. This is where gender discrimination starts, in the home, in the family. If we want to be the equal of men in the society, we must treat our daughters. We must start by treating our daughters as the equal of our sons. This will do a lot of good to our sons as well. I think that men who live in a society where there is gender equality are the richer for it. They learn to develop their talents because they understand that they need to develop their talents, that they will not be given a place in society simply because of their gender, that they will have to earn it, that they will have to compete with the women for their place in society. So gender equality not only helps women, it helps men as well. And it will help both our men and our women to be genuine driving forces in our transitional progress.
That was opposition leader, democracy advocate, and former political prisoner Aung San Suu Kyi speaking in Naypyidaw in December 2014. For gender activists in Myanmar, systemic change is an uphill battle. A groundbreaking report by the Women's League of Burma released in November 2014 revealed reports of rape and sexual violence by government forces throughout the country. The Chiang Mai-based organization also criticized the government's National Strategic Plan for the Advancement of Women, a framework for different ministries to advance women's rights and gender equality in areas such as education, health, and the economy. According to the Women's League of Burma, the plan lacks resources and is being implemented too slowly. Women are vastly underrepresented in Myanmar's parliaments, holding fewer than 5% of seats. Still, some high-level government officials maintain women enjoy equal rights in Myanmar. Dame Myat Myat Aung Khin made history when she became the first woman minister in 2012. At the Women's Forum, the Minister for Social Welfare cited common Myanmar sayings as vivid evidence of gender equality here.
In Myanmar's context, it can be found that women are enjoying equal rights with men. The hands that cradle can rule the world. And then, wife and husband are sharing equal duties and responsibilities in the family. Those are the vivid evidence of gender equality in Myanmar.
That was Dom Myat Myat Onkin, Minister for Social Welfare and the first woman minister appointed in Myanmar, also speaking in Naypyidaw. But according to Ma Tata, the longtime activist and director of AKAYA, a Yangon-based gender equality organization, gendered violence exists everywhere. I met Ma Tata in 2013 when I first arrived in Yangon. I was inspired by the work done by her organization to spread awareness about gendered violence, and she was excited to learn about WINGS and other feminist media overseas. AKAYA launched a Whistle for Help campaign in 2012 to end sexual harassment on Yangon's overcrowded buses. Women commuters were given whistles by AKAYA volunteers and told to use them if they experienced violence. The organization's invaluable work continues today. Every week, women of all ages and backgrounds gather at the organization for a workshop aimed at debunking myths around sexuality. Ma A.A. Mo traveled for 2 hours from a rural village outside Yangon to the AKAYA office one Saturday. I caught up with her there and asked her what gendered violence means to her. Josephine, an AKAYA volunteer, translated.
Gender violence to her is exploiting sex or any other physical contact without consent. If she experienced other activities with her consent or with someone that she likes, for example, boyfriend, husband, that's fine. But without consent, that's what means gender violence to her.
Rape is criminalized under the Myanmar Penal Code, but marital rape is legal here, and gender equality groups say harmful existing conceptions of gender and sex are fueled by this discriminatory legal environment. Here is Ma A.A. Mo on consent.
In her case, her husband would ask for her consent to sleep together. She heard that other people have experienced, like the woman or the wife, she doesn't want it, but the husband would try it sometime, like 3 times in 1 day or in 1 night, or those cases that she's been hurt.
Ma A.A. Mo is a teacher in her village and aims to integrate what she learns at AKAYA into the classroom.
Currently, she is teaching a social welfare school, and she hopes with the knowledge she gained from here, she could be aware of the situation or the possible harm so that she can help the student, her students. And if something happens, she will have a strong network here, and she knows that she could ask for help anytime. She intends to include during her class hours to talk about this, to give them education. She's been here only for a week, and she's hoping to learn more, and after that she says she'll definitely teach them sexual help.
You just heard from Ma A.A. Mo, a member of the AKAYA community and a teacher in a rural village outside Yangon. Josephine translated our interview. Next, I spoke with Ko Cho Min San, a taxi driver in Yangon, and friend of a partner of an AKAYA staff member. He agreed to share his conceptions of gender and sexual violence. Again, this is Josephine, an AKAYA volunteer, translating our interview at the AKAYA office in Yangon.
As a result of using drugs and using pills, that can motivate sexual desires, people started to change their conscience, and as the sexual desires rises, cases like violent, gender-based violence happen.
Okay. Those perpetrators, either they are overdosed or either they are drunk. And he believes that it's still rare, at least in Yangon. Like, there might be some cases, but not common.
Ko Cho Min San had a narrow definition of gender-based violence and offered excuses for men who had committed violent acts. But he said he welcomed emerging women's groups in the newly opened Myanmar.
For him, gender violence means only physical violence caused by their sex organs. So cases like teasing or verbally harassing are not really violences for him. He believes that men do this only because they think the woman is beautiful, just to appreciate her, or it's just a friendly kidding.
So
he appreciates the emergence of many women groups, and he thinks that these groups provide confidence and safety for all the women, and that as the women groups get stronger and stronger, and that as the laws are made to protect women, in the future there will be less cases, less violence cases, he believes.
Ko Cho Min San told me about a friend of his who raped a woman. He said the friend wasn't able to control himself and blamed the use of alcohol and drugs.
There was no cases, like the girl didn't really do anything. Some time later, the friend told him about that, and he tried to convince him not to do this kind of action again. It's like this could lead to a criminal case or things like that. So a normal person or a moral person would never do this, or a moral man would never do this kind of action. And he believes alcohol mainly creates a lot of these situations. And so if the men don't drink nor take drugs, and the cases would be rare or less, he believes.
I asked Ko Cho Min San if he would ever report acts of sexual violence committed by men in his community.
There's a saying, never interrupt between a couple, between siblings, or between a family. But many people believe that saying, and they will try not to interrupt, but he will. Like, if he witnessed any case of domestic violence or sexual violence, he will interrupt, and he believes that the stronger man should never hurt the weak woman.
Ko Cho Min San shared his conceptions of women's roles in society and reasons for their subjugation.
There are uninterrupted dialogue. So women are physically weaker, but he's trying to say they are mentally also weak in making decisions. Like, these days there are like many women doing business, involved in business, starting their own businesses, but they seem weak when it comes to decision making, and mostly it's men helping, or it's men can make quicker and more effective decisions. But of course this was due to the long history of women's dependency on men in the Myanmar tradition. So because of that culture, women don't even know themselves that they should also be a decision maker. So some of the women perceive it is not their duty. It might change in the future. Of course, he would like to see in the future less violence cases, and he himself will support whatever he can to end violence against women. And also he thinks there should be like really strong and effective laws to protect this, and there should also be service centers or emergency for women who have experienced violence cases.
That was Ko Cho Min San, a Yangon-based taxi driver. Josephine translated our interview.
On Wings, you're listening to a 2015 documentary about attitudes and activism around gendered violence in Myanmar. Here's the producer, Portia Larley.
In October, a group of more than 100 NGOs, which are collaborating with the Ministry of Social Welfare to enact an anti-sexual assault law, called for the establishment of shelters for survivors of domestic violence. Akaya is in the early stages of spearheading the development of these emergency services, including legal aid and a helpline. Next, I spoke with Dalkafa Teri, a Buddhist nun at a nunnery in a rural suburb of Yangon. Buddhist nuns are less regarded in Myanmar, a majority Buddhist country, than their male counterparts, monks. I wanted to understand Dalkafa Teri's take on the status of women here. She had heard about Akaya from a junior nun who had attended the weekly women's group. We discussed her experience as a nun and the need for education to break the cycle of violence. Josephine translated.
She has been a nun for about 26 years now, but she became a nun at the age of 30. When her parents passed away, she was left alone and she didn't want to get married, and she wanted to help those vulnerable children as well, so she decided to become a nun so that she could help the children. She believes it's very important to prevent any violence cases because it has a huge consequence in the future, not only for the victim, but also for her new generation. For example, if a woman is raped and she got pregnant and she had to give birth, then that children is not going to have a good life because the mother is already mentally tortured. It's very unlikely that she will have full affection for the children, and the children also, we have many pressure from the environment with all those wrongful accusations. Like, to prevent all of this, the first thing is to prevent any potential violence case.
Dalkafa Teri shared her take on the history of gender relations in Myanmar and how it had shifted over time.
So in the history, in the past, the men have like earrings, and before a warrior go to war, he would ask his mother to give a piece of her clothes, and he would roll that piece and put it in his ear like earrings, and they will wear it as a protection gift from their mother, something sacred and special. Okay. So that's a sign that there was not any power imbalances between men and women. It has become a culture that they consider men as the breadwinner, but also like the god of the house. They kind of worship the men, and that's how women start to believe or start to perceive that they are lower than men.
I asked Dalkafa Teri about promoting gender equality.
Only because of the woman or the mother, they became human. That's what she believes. And the way to change this mindset is by involving more and more women, as many women as possible. Educate them, give them awareness about violences, and to be ready to help them, and like, try to spread the education awareness system all over the country. But the challenge is because the country itself is still poor, and for underprivileged families, the first thing to have in mind is to have enough food for the day. So it's very hard to gather them and to educate them full time. So like, we need to make some compromises to both sides and trying to persuade them that this is very important for them as well. And once the woman are educated or are aware about these situations, they become more outspoken and they will know that they can get help.
It was her own experience as a child that sparked her focus on empowering young women and ending violence against women.
She personally hates violence and she personally is totally against violence. It has rooted from her own experience. There were 10 children in her family and 8 out of 10 survived. she has experienced a lot of violences from her father, like all the children. The father is always the breadwinner, or always the lead of the house, and he has full control over the household. He used to beat them up. When he came home drunk, he wouldn't let them sleep, and he would keep them awake all night and just be talking and talking. And they were physically as well as mentally tortured. And because of this, because of her childhood life, she go totally against violence, and she would like to end this. And she believes that the experience of violence in young age would affect your whole future. It's still affecting her until now. She's still suffering from that. And so to end this, the most important thing is to have laws, effective laws. If the law and the policy are just there and nobody follow, then it's useless law. So the government also need to make sure that the laws are really used or really applied to make sure that the people are following.
Dawkatha Terry points out that while poverty compounds gendered violence, traditional family values lead women to stay in abusive situations.
Because of the social situation, the man's earning is not enough, plus he drinks. So there's always very little income that he finally brings home. And at the same time, when they come home drunk, they start to make problems with for not having enough food at home, and they blame the woman, they torture the child. And what happened next? They all suffered. So if women groups like IKEA or any women groups take the lead in ending violence, nuns like her, the nun community, will also actively support this.
You just heard from Dawkatha Terry, a Buddhist nun at a nunnery in a rural suburb of Yangon. Josephine translated our interview at the IKEA office. During my visit to IKEA one Saturday morning, I spoke with one more member of the organization's diverse community. Ma Miet Miet Kin became involved in IKEA after going through a divorce a few years ago, a rarity in Myanmar. She runs a boarding house for young women. I asked Ma Miet Miet Kin why she left her husband, and Josephine translated.
Her ex-husband cheated on her before they get a divorce. Every time when she do something wrong or when she doesn't do something for him, he started blaming her. He tell her off.
You're an idiot.
So all those words. And she have always put the husband on the leading role and supported in whatever way she could, but she was never appreciated for what she does for him.
Make the outer be like the new Tatare.
So he was working in a different region, and they have a house there. So at one point, she was told that he's living there with the new girl he met, and she was suggested by the parents-in-law to go and live with him. So she went there, and the husband did not really commit any physical violence, but he tortured her by not talking to her at all. So she was treated like a slave there. So she was just there just to serve him, but he wouldn't talk to her at all.
Ma Miet Miet Kin aims to end victim blaming amongst the young women she lives with.
She was always told the young woman to not become dependent on their boyfriends, on their men, and to not give up on what they are doing if they're working. When they marry, the women usually give up their job and just, become a housewife. So she's been telling the young woman to not do that, and also to not be ashamed if something happened. Because when she got divorced, she blamed herself and she isolated herself because she thinks that it's also her fault to not be able to keep the family life. She felt like that, but now she's no longer guilty for this. This is not her fault, so she told the girls the same thing. And also, even if in the worst, even if you are raped, this is not your fault. So if they don't do anything wrong, then to not feel ashamed for that.
We also discussed the pressure placed on relationships. In Myanmar, the norm is marriage comes before sex. But Ma Miet Miet Kin strives to change the norm.
So many women thinks or believes that if they have had sex with their boyfriend, then they should marry, or they are obliged to marry, and they have no other choice but to marry that man. And she's saying that it's a very wrongful idea. When she married her husband, she had similar experience. They had sex, so that she married him because she has to. She wouldn't have any other choice, and the consequences happened. So that's not the case. And women need to bring themselves out of this idea that if just because they slept with the man that they have to marry, that this idea is wrong. Many people believe that if a girl or a woman is in a relationship for a long time, or if that woman lives with her boyfriend, I mean, sleeps with her boyfriend, then the woman is no longer clean. And that has been a huge pressure. So if a woman is in a relationship for several years, then like they think that that woman should marry that man no matter what. And she always trying to tell other young women that virginity is not an issue and that it should not become an issue. And that if they are happy or if they are discriminated because of virginity issue, then they should not care. And things like that. So she's been telling young women.
Ma Myint-Myint-Khin hopes to start her own women's groups, but her activism will begin at home.
She has two boys and they have girlfriends. And she would like to encourage the girlfriends to not put themselves under the sense control, and she will support them, and she will, like, her hope is to become a good mother-in-law for the girls. So before, she would consider herself as this person's daughter, this person's wife, this person's friend, but now she's just being herself.
Ma Myint-Myint-Khin runs a boarding house for young women and volunteers at Akaya. Josephine translated our interview. During my conversations at Akaya, gender discrimination was at times described as culturally rooted. But as a Canadian woman, these experiences shared similarities to those in my community and patriarchal societies worldwide. As Myanmar undergoes reform in nearly every sector, including education, hopefully information about gender issues will become increasingly accessible and institutionalized. In the meantime, grassroots community organizations like Akaya continue to carve space for these difficult conversations about sexuality and push for a more equal future. For more information on Akaya's work in Yangon, search Akaya, that's A-K-H-A-Y-A, on Facebook. Thanks again to my translator Josephine and everyone at Akaya for making this piece possible. For Wings in Yangon, Myanmar, this is Portia Larley.
To hear this and other Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, editor of the book Women and the Gift Economy. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle is Cast. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.